Hey everybody, we are yet again talking about time. This time we're going to talk about the past and how it influences the future. Now I just want to let you know, a lot of these videos, well there's not a lot of videos, there's only four of them, and some of them will be longer, some of them will be shorter. They're going to overlap because the concept really can't be taken apart and put back together like a puzzle, because it's more of a quantum reality, which is like a big hairball. It's really hard to take it apart. But for our purposes, I'm going to try and explain this to you the best I can in a way that is digestible for us, so that, you know, we can kind of get a sense of what we're talking about here. Okay, so we are not making predictions in this course. However, the reason why people have used oracles over the centuries to make predictions is because the future is implicit in the moment. And some of us who have the capacity to see the grid of potentiality can actually see the possibilities and describe them. Now, we're not training you how to do that in this course, although some of you might surprise yourselves and never thought you ever could, may see certain things. But for our purposes right now, I'm going to show you how we co-create reality from our past and how it influences our present and why that has an effect on our future. So, the first thing I want to talk about is time and the calendar. So we live in artificial time and have for some time now, since we stopped using the lunar cycles as a method of telling us where we are, as well as light. So natural cycle that occurs in the human body for us to be in sync with the planet and with the, you know, the whole universe really should be based on light, the time of light, and the time of the seasons and cycles that we all go through naturally, because there really should be more than what the calendar shows us. However, that changed during the Roman Empire, and I'm not going to go through the whole layers of how we created calendars, because the Mayans had their own calendar, which by the way had 18 layers of time, and that'll really blow your head up. We're not going to do that. But we here in the West, we all do that 365-day Gregorian calendar that changed in the, I don't know, 16, no, something BCE. If you're interested, it's all in your PDF, and I will likely get the dates wrong in the video, so ignore me if I say it wrong. Now, why is this important? Well, it began a way of us looking at the world, and then really hammered home when Newtonian physics started, where we started to see the world as separated parts. We began to see time as linear. So in other words, instead of seeing time as cyclical and natural according to our bodies, we started seeing time that we could mark in organized little pockets of experience. So we had an expectation of what would happen, for example, and our bodies, of course, were emergent as well. So we would start at birth, we would grow, we would change, and then of course we would entropy as we would die. So of course it was natural for us to see time as something that progressed over a linear process. Right? So we learn to see time from left to right. So if you look at any drawing of time, you usually go like, oh, it began over here and it went that way. Right? So we all believe that time is in some way linear because we have A, been conditioned to see it that way through thousands of years of conditioning and our loss of natural time. So we have to go with what we work with. We have to work with what we got, in other words. So what we need to learn or unlearn is the concept of cause and effect. Because when you only look at cause and effect as linear, which is of course is what Newtonian physics started to ask us to see things as, is that everything was separated parts and one thing was going to affect another. When we are looking to create our life, then we are looking at the past as fixed. Right? So when we look back over our life, we see that thing happened, and then we would see an effect. Oh, and that's why I'm like this, right? Because why? Because we would just say the past is fixed. It's no one's fault. But if you all know how I've been teaching you up till now, and you've been through personal mastery, you also know that as you have transformed by doing our daily process work, your perception and perspective on your past has now changed. So you can, in fact, rewrite your past. This is all I want to bring up to you, just to think about this in this module, is the thought that, oh, the past isn't fixed. We're going to talk about more about that later. So scientists now have all agreed on one thing. Yay! And I put a quote from this really interesting head of research of California University that had just spoken at a conference on time and how we, you know, predict the future scientifically. So he said, which they all agree on now, and by the way, everybody always agreed about that before, the indigenous cultures and all the earliest cultures on this planet that we think are primitive all knew this stuff, FYI. Okay, because we spiritually know it. The future is implicit in the now. So it is not something down there. It is everything that arises up from the moment has within it the seeds of the future. But here's the deal. Because we are memory-based creatures, we are going to be influenced by the experiences that we had in the past. And unless we are willing to look back at our past and see it with a different lens, we are going to be naturally, I would say, indentured or enslaved or taken hostage by the stories that we tell ourselves about the past, which has an influence about where we're going to go next and what we are capable of achieving. If we are going to remain, and by the way, the past lives in our subconscious, which also lives in our bodies. Remember I told you last time we were talking about the body as an instrument. So in module 3, we're seeing our sensitivity, the sensitivity spectrum, we're looking at all about that, and we're feeling out the universe around us at all times. But we also have these stories that are kind of like in the invisible that talk to us, and through our memory, we start to encourage conditions, or we see ourselves in the conditions that we'll talk again about later, but I can't kind of start this without talking about what we're talking about later, and you'll see why in a second. Okay, I'm gonna stop there and talk about why oracle cards are really, really important to us that normal people who don't work with oracle cards don't know. How's that? We have a tool. We have the most amazing magical tool right in front of us that can help us rewrite our story of our past to give us more opportunity for our future. Why? Because if you can imagine that a fixed past allows us to be in a place like this, there's only so much availability based on the story that we tell ourselves about our past that is possible for us because we have certain limiting beliefs or limiting concepts about what's possible for us inherent in the story. And if we change that story, what happens? More possibility is open to us, more potentiality because we are not limited by the perspective or perception of a past that we believe is fixed. So I have lots of notes here. Obviously I had lots of notes here, so I'm just gonna see what, make sure I didn't forget something. Okay, so, right. Dr. Bruce Lipton, I love him. In his book, The Biology of Belief, he shares something with us that's really, really important for us to know. We can't possibly store all the information consciously in our memory banks that we need to know because we would go mad. We are not capable. The human being, the human mind is not capable of having access to all that information all the time. So the stuff that gets stored in the unconscious, the things that come up for us when we get triggered, are the things that we really want. We want to take it out of the basement. Like, wait a second, I don't want that to open up again. And we want to be able to do it with detachment so that we don't get re-triggered. So this is what's really key here, why the oracle cards are so fantastic, because they don't re-trigger us because we're hovering over the story. They're saying, ooh, you know, hey, check it out, unfinished symphony. This is a good one, round and round. Oh, what is coming around again for me to take a look at? So we can be a lot more dispassionate about it, whereas a normal person, or not a normal person, I'm not saying we're abnormal, but a person who doesn't have this skill or gift at their fingertips thinks they're stuck there. But we know better, and that's why we become really strong conscious manifestors, because we are constantly moving above the story that would normally keep us there in a drama for ages. Now we cycle through them so much faster. Doesn't mean we won't have the drama. Doesn't mean that we won't get triggered or that we won't get, you know, engaged again with energy that has no bearing on or desire that we have for our future. But we cycle out of it really quick so that it doesn't become part of our implicit now, which tells us what the future is going to be like. It's hard to wrap your head around, but honestly, the greatest gift is for us to rewrite our past and completely empower ourselves in the moment so that we don't carry that baggage with us as we move forward. Knowing that we're human, knowing that we will repeat certain patterns, and knowing that nothing is perfect, but boy, oh boy, can it ever be more powerful than you ever could believe by doing this work. All right, you have homework in the PDF. Enjoy it. Again, don't stress yourself out for it. It's going to look like it's a lot. Take your time. You don't have to do it all in 1 week either. Just know that it's there for you and it's powerful. And I'll see you in the next video where we're going to be talking about choice points and fractal time.